This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Another conversation about what's going on the farm, the connection of the farm to your family and the food that you eat. It's all part of the American Family Farmer here in part to bring you up to date on some of the news from the world of agriculture, to give you ideas about how to make your farm more successful, and to give you an opportunity to think through some of the issues with perhaps comments of your own. You can always reach out to me, Doug at DougStephan.com. Great way to do it. The connection of our farmers and our farms to grocery stores. You know, there's the whole movement, as you are aware, I'm sure, of bringing food to restaurants, right? The open table, local issues and local emphasis on the smart restaurants using stuff, the tomatoes, the lettuce, whatever there can be vegetable-wise or meat-wise, do it from local sources. Well, that's good if you have a local restaurant. What about the local grocery store, though? Is there an independent grocery store in your town? There are a lot of independent grocery stores that are looking to the federal government and the antitrust laws to battle with the big retailers. The National Grocers Association, which is a trade association that represents a lot of independent grocery stores, has released details focusing on the way the dominant retailers like Amazon and like Walmart and to a point Target, I guess, and then you can look at the big grocery store chains themselves, Albertsons, Publix, the Stop and Shop, the big, and I guess we would put Whole Foods into that now because they have about 500 stores. So this group is looking for the government to enforce anti-monopoly laws, including the Robinson-Patman Act, which deems that economic discrimination ought to be one of the criteria. This goes back to the mid-30s when a lot of smaller retailers were being, and this was the beginning of the chain food department, and but didn't really get big till after World War II. In the 50s, it really started to be a problem. And so it used to be that 75% of all the groceries and things that we get locally came from local grocery stores. Now it's just the opposite. There are only 25, all the grocery stores in America, only 25% of them are owned by local entities. The independent, the IGA, you've seen those signs, the Independent Grocers Association. So then what should be the relationship for the grocery store, the big chains? Whole Foods makes a big thing out of identifying, and so does Trader Joe's actually, identifying where local produce comes from. Is this done at the expense of the local grocery store, trying to put the local grocery store? We all know what Walmart's about, putting all the local mom-and-pop businesses out of business so they can come in and control the source and the supply. That's been the way it's been a very successful model for them. But how many mom-and-pop stores do you know of that exist, actually, in most of the communities where there's a Walmart? Not many of them. And you can say, well, that's capitalism. That's the American way. You've got to be competitive or you go out of business. Okay. And by the way, just as an example, Walmart as the example, that's a store that started, it was a small grocery store, in Bentonville, Arkansas, where Sam Walton grew up. And then it grew and he, you know, broadened it. First was a grocery store, and then he broadened what they had in the store. It became sort of a hardware store, and then it became sort of a clothing store, and then it became what it is today. Although I'm not sure that Sam Walton envisioned it to be the powerhouse and kind of the muscle that it is in the world. I have no use for Walmart, and I don't mind saying it on the air. It's cost me money in advertising revenue, but I just think that they're predators. I think Amazon is the biggest of all the predators. So again, the question comes back to what should you do on your farm to have a relationship to a local grocery store? Is it the right market for your farm? Think about wholesale produce to grocery stores. They're selling it at retail, but they'll say it comes from Hanson's farm or whatever the farm is. And is it just produce items, or is it for things that are, you know, not necessarily the produce that you may have? I was looking at the selection of produce buyers and their interest in increasing the availability of processed items like bedding plants and hanging plants and honey and maple syrup and that sort of thing. There are a lot of aggregators now, jobbers, if you will, middlemen, when produce is combined from several sources to bring to a store, then, you know, is that watering down the value of you and your market? I say sell everything you can on your farm. Everything you produce, sell as much of it as you can on your farm at a price that is as much as you can get. People understand. I mean, you got to stay in business. Most people who come to the farm understand that they're going to spend more money there because it's going to be fresher, it's better. But if, in fact, you're selling, let's say you're selling tomatoes for, I don't even know, what does a tomato cost? I just go pick them. I don't pay for them. So I don't know, and I don't mean that to sound arrogant. I just don't. I know, let me use milk and dairy because that's my area. So if you were paying, let's say, $5 for a gallon of milk in the grocery store, how much of that does the farmer get? $1.19. If you're selling your milk to the grocery store for them to sell it at $5 and you're only getting $2 out of it, but yet at your store, you have a farm store and you're selling your milk for $6 a gallon. Are you hurting yourself? I mean, just think it through for a second. Are you hurting yourself by presenting to the farm a gallon of milk for, let's say, $2.50, maybe $3, and they turn around and sell it for $5? Or do people see the brand and they know they can come to your farm and buy it, but they pay a buck more than they pay for it in the grocery store? You understand what I'm saying? There's something wrong in that whole scenario. I think you keep your products away from the grocery store, sell as much as you can on your farm, and then maybe it becomes private label. You don't let it get sold under your brand name in the grocery store for less money than you're charging for it at your farm. That would be my advice. And so you can take it to the bank or take it wherever you want. But I think that's in terms of the news this week, as we find more and more, especially up here in the northern climes, the northeast, as we find ourselves opening up our markets. Strawberry season is upon us, and people are going to the farms and picking the strawberries. It's a fabulous season for that, at least where I am. And I think that, you know, you get, what is it, $7 a quart or whatever they're getting for good strawberries. I think that, you know, you can buy them from Driscoll's all day long for $4 a quart or a pound or whatever they charge you for them. But what you're getting is stuff that has no value whatsoever in terms of its intrinsic health value. The stuff's, you know, there's not much to it. So buy local, sell local. That's what I say. Coming up in a moment, we're going to meet Brittany Overshiner, who comes from a farm that's very near to where I am here in Massachusetts. Right now, a reminder about how you, as an adult, can, now that you've worked hard to get into the season, you've lost some weight, how do you keep it off? Keep it off by using Calitrin. You understand what you're growing is all natural, so why not use something all natural to keep the weight off of your body? That's where Calitrin comes in. It is the only weight loss formula in existence, not only in our country, but around the world, that doesn't have any stimulants, doesn't have any drugs. Its main ingredients, aloe vera, which helps you sleep really well at night, digestive enzymes that are good for your gut. All health begins and ends in your gut. You know that, the GAPS theory of how you stay in health. and then collagen protein, which helps your body repair and rebuild that lean muscle. As you've lost the weight, you got to tighten it up. So those are the three main ingredients, and that's why this works so well. Check out all the product information, the ingredients, the description, the instructions as to how to use it at toploss.com. Buy the product there. Use the discount code DJV, and you get 3 months supply free when you purchase another 3 months. That's at toploss.com for Calitrin to lose weight the natural way and keep it off. Use that discount code DJV on checkout. You've heard me talk a lot about how the MyPillow has changed the way I sleep. You'll have the same experience because the MyPillow never goes flat, gives you the best night's sleep. It is no longer going to be a problem that you wake up in the middle of the night, you got a sore neck, a headache, a backache. You won't need a nap because you'll be sleeping well through the night. Now, you can refresh the pillows of every room because the premium MyPillow is at the lowest price ever. For now, and just a limited amount of time, you can get a queen-size premium MyPillow for $29.98. King pillows are $5 more. To get this deal, use the promo code DJV. Every MyPillow is backed with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special square there, enter the promo code DJV, and while you're there, why not take advantage of the deep discounts on all the MyPillow products using the DJV code. The key says sheets, that sort of thing, the My Slippers. Get them all at MyPillow.com using the promo code DJV.
So, how can I promote my new curbside pickup service?
It's possible. With Staples Connect.
I need custom floor decals that'll get noticed, not just walked on.
Also possible. Staples Connect can help your business grow with custom printed sales and marketing materials. Now, get $10 off signs, banners, or posters when you spend $50 or more. Explore what's new at your local Staples. Staples Connect, the working and learning store. N73, valid in-store and online. Visit staples.com/signage for details.
Asthma symptoms can attack anywhere, like on a city street. Now you can get fast relief anywhere with new improved Primatene Mist, the only FDA-approved asthma inhaler available over-the-counter. So whether you need relief of symptoms at the park or at your kitchen table, Primatene Mist starts working quickly, opening up your airways to restore free breathing. For temporary relief of mild symptoms of intermittent asthma, use Primatene Mist and breathe easy again. Available at CVS, Rite Aid, and Walgreens. Use as directed.
The American Family Farmer continuing now with an introduction to Brittany Overshiner, who runs Upswing Farm, which is, when I say local, it is really local to me because she's around the corner and up the street. So how did you get started, Brittany? Tell us your story, because I don't know you. I know a little about the farm, but I need to know, I think, the audience, as we present things on this program to help people with ideas. What was your idea? How did you decide to do this?
Yeah, great question. So I am now 36, and when I went to Northeastern in Boston, and I was studying environmental science, and I took two semester courses back-to-back, nutrition, public health, and the American science, and then eating in the environment. And it was just my aha moment of, I care about nutrition, I care about environmental well-being. Of course, these things are linked by agriculture and the way we produce food. And I was studying more to about political advocacy, and I just felt overwhelmed by that big picture work that needs to be done to really change our food system. So I started apprenticing in 2007, and I loved the work, and I didn't look back. So I apprenticed for 3 years, and then I got a job managing a community farm for 5 years. And when I grew out of that, I had stepped away not knowing exactly how I would start my farm, and was actually offered a lease by someone up the road in Ashland, who was a retired farmer.
I know the guy, and I know the farm. He's a wonderful man. Like, he's 96 now, and he's,
yes, I know, it's amazing.
he's a real character. Yeah, and I think now that I'm thinking about it, I think you and I may have come across each other because of him with the land. He wanted me to mow around the fields that we were using, that sort of thing. I think at one point in time I did meet you, and that's kind of the nice feel here, being able to talk about stuff. First-hand knowledge is always kind of cool. Brittany Overshiner here from Upswing Farm as we continue in a matter of moments on the American Family Farmer.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project, so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Brittany started farming. When people say, oh, it was an accident. And it kind of sounds a little bit like your, I don't know if an accident is probably the right phraseology for it, Brittany, but you certainly didn't aim to do what you are doing. But it's sort of like, I find this, I don't know, again, you probably know where my farm is, and you know that I'm a dairy guy, a cow guy, but it gets into your... But you may not, I mean, I've been around cows all my life, so I don't know what life is like without having cows in my life. You know what it's like not to be on a farm, and yet you've chosen in a sea where there are probably, with your educational background, all kinds of opportunities for you. So what did your family say, and your friends and people that you're close to, when you said, okay, this is what I'm doing?
Well, I'm actually really lucky to have, like, a very supportive family that wants me to have, like, a full and, satisfying life. And they kind of got over the fact that I wasn't going to make a ton of money and, like, you know, succeed in those maybe more culturally traditional ways. And I'm also fairly stubborn and strong-headed, so I'm sure nobody really wanted to come up against me.
Cute. Well, listen, I think the best farmers are the ones who want to stick with it, frankly. The most stubborn of us have stayed in it long after the people who didn't see the value in it or didn't see the lifestyle, they would go off and do something else. And that's one of the problems, I think, actually, in agriculture and farming these days. We don't have a lot of people to see the big picture. And again, I go back to you and your circle of friends, the people that you work with. Have you had to try to find people to work with you, or have you found it pretty easy to find quality help?
I find it very easy to find quality help. I have an amazing crew. I mean, we posted jobs this year, and I had 32 different interviews after, like, pre-screening. So I think that there is really a pool of young people that are interested in learning to farm and working on farms. There's just a lot of barriers. Like, one of the major barriers being, especially in Massachusetts, there's no such thing as affordable housing. The cost of living is really high, and if you're going to work on a farm, you're probably going to get paid minimum wage. And so how are you supposed to support yourself and also learn to farm? And I think that more people would farm if we could figure out a way to remove some of those entry barriers.
All right, so how did you figure out how to get over those entry barriers?
Yeah, that's a good question. So one thing was I was fortunate enough to receive a full scholarship from Northeastern, so I didn't have student debt. So anybody who's carrying student debt is probably really going to struggle with, you know, paying that debt and also farming. I mean, there's really smart people who are doing it. And then the other thing was there was housing provided by the farm. A lot of the farms I worked at. So I was able to earn minimum wage or less in a lot of cases because I didn't have debt and I didn't really have that cost of living support.
Mm-hmm. So,
and I was okay with not accumulating wealth for that time period, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things about farming, as you know, is land is the asset that you carry from year to year to year. And as it increases in value, especially in the area where we are, I know that you had the land over in nearby towns, Ashland, Holliston, Franklin. So for people in New England, they kind of know where that is. Now you and your husband bought a farm. All right.
We actually lost that lease in Ashland, and so we really experienced the not being intergenerational farmers, not being handed land, and trying to access farmland. And we spent years and years trying to make this happen. And I will say that we had a partner, Dirt Capital Partners, which is like they lend specifically to farmers, and we would not have succeeded without them.
Right. Now, that's the thing. Finding money to do this, it's practical. In my neck of the woods and where you were, I mean, the farm that I own, I have 114 acres of land that has who knows how many buildable lots, but the land's going for $400,000 an acre. How do you farm that? And that's, you know, that's kind of the question a lot of people are facing, especially, as you said, in this neck of the woods. So we're teaching people how to get beyond all of that with Brittany Overshiner as we continue in the next half hour of The American Family Farmer.
It's been tough talking to my doctor about constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. I finally laid all my symptoms out there and how they keep coming back. She said I may have irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. We agreed it's time to try something different.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Visit a doctor in person or online. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by Abbey and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
People don't always need to talk it out. This is Emotional Management. I'm Dr. Christian Conti. Before the turn of this century, it was widely believed that people need to talk out crisis events in their lives. Over the last 15 years, however, a slew of studies began to demonstrate that if therapists treat everyone the same and force people to talk out crises, they can actually do more damage than good. For some people, talking out crises is really helpful. For others, not thinking about tragic events is best. The general guideline is that if something is obviously still present for someone, then having them talk it out is likely to be helpful. But if something is not present for that person, then it's probably unnecessary to have that person rehash the tragedy. You don't have to be a clinician to take advantage of this information. In short, if people want to talk something out, be there for them. If they don't, then don't force it. For more on communication, visit drchristianconti.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
At Wednesday's summit between Russia and the United States, Russian President Vladimir Putin brought to light the political persecution of protesters who took to Capitol Hill on January 6th. Putin told reporters in Geneva, political freedoms in Russia, in comparison to the United States, appear to be equally restricted. Putin also pointed out hundreds of Capitol protesters have been subjected to arbitrary detention, while Ashley Babbitt, who he referred to as a non-threatening woman, was shot dead point-blank range by Capitol Police. Putin argued these arrests are a violation of basic human rights. China has successfully launched the Shenzhou-12, its first manned mission in 5 years, to its new space station. Shenzhou 12, meaning divine vessel, lifted off Thursday from northwest China. After entering orbit, the spaceship conducted a rendezvous and docking with the in-orbit Chinese space station. This is USA Radio News.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Join me, George Norrie, for Contact in the Desert Worldwide Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to the 28th. Contact in the Desert will be an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient alien civilizations, consciousness, AI, crop circles, and cutting-edge science. More than 130 presentations, 67 speakers, and 2 extra weeks to view our extraordinary lineup. Get your tickets today at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
President Trump weighs in on Wednesday's summit between the United States and Russia. Dan Araki from the Ohio USA Radio News Bureau reports.
Now that President Biden is on his way back to the U.S. after a week-long European trip capped off by Wednesday's summit with Russian President Putin, many are evaluating what the president achieved on his first overseas excursion. Former President Donald Trump believes that nothing was achieved by the U.S. in the meeting. He tells Fox News that President Biden gave Putin a large stage, but got nothing in return.
Well, I guess the overall is we didn't get anything. We gave a very big stage to Russia, and we got nothing. We gave up something that was unbelievably valuable. I stopped the pipeline, Nord Stream, and that pipeline was stopped, and it was given back, and nothing was gotten for it. And it was just another day. And performance art, you'll take a look at how various people performed, namely the two people, and, you have to form your own judgment.
The COVID-19 timeline may need to be changed. Tim Berg reports.
A new NIH study says the coronavirus could have been in the United States as early as December 2019. The study, citing an Illinois volunteer who gave blood on January 7th of last year, and that led to a positive test result for antibodies. Based on that, researchers say Illinois could have been dealing with the virus around Christmas Eve of 2019.
I'm Lance Pry, and this is USA Radio News.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Here's to the farmer that plants the fields in the spring, that turned from green to that harvest honey. Pull one up for the banker.
All right, Brittany Side, it's Sidway Overshiner. That's an interesting name. And, of course, you've made yourself interesting by, as you said, being stubborn and sticking with it. The different towns that you've been in, how do you see dealing? Because there's a certain amount of politics. I know you're at the Ashland Farmers Market, and I know from my own experience of trying to, I had an ice cream service, and trying to get into that Ashland Farmers Market was very political. Have you found that to be the case?
I think that I just grow produce, and we've been always grown with organic methods, and now we're certified organic, and I think that I got into that market really early, so I think if I were to try to get into that market at this point, there's just so many established vendors. I haven't necessarily found that challenge, but it might be because, that there isn't the, you need the cornerstone vegetable farmers to make a farmer's market.
Right. Exactly. Well, exactly, right. Other things. So this farm that you bought, how you said you had a partnership. I'm not familiar with that bank that you loaned the money from, that they loaned you the money.
It's not a bank. I would consider them a slow money group. So basically mm-hmm. they have several investors who are willing to like take slightly slower returns, lower returns for their investments in order to support organic farmers who are farming sustainably or organically to secure farmland. It's not mm-hmm. a cheap mortgage. Like, the mortgage rates are definitely above, you know, what market. People are paying. I mean, the housing right. market's insane right now. It's so cheap.
Right.
We also have a loan from the FSA, the Farm Service mm-hmm. Agency. So we have a partial, part of our mortgage, or two mortgages, basically, one from Dirt Capital Partners and one from the Farm Service Agency. And the Farm Service Agency rates are slightly below market rate, so it ends up averaging out as if mm-hmm. we just had a market rate mortgage. But, I mean, we approached, and there was no lender who was going to lend us the money for this, and it was also a very complicated transaction, and we needed the expertise that Dirt Capital Partners provided us in order to negotiate. You know, mm-hmm. we really need, there's so many skills that were needed to make this thing happen, and we found that in Dirt Capital.
Persistence pays off. As sometimes these things, as you know, dealing with the government especially, you're trying to borrow money from them or get involved in programs. Excuse me, I just got a whole raft of descriptions from farm services that you sign off every year, as I'm sure you do, as to the fields that you're using and what you're doing there and all of that stuff. And it's very time consuming, frankly, to get into it. It would be wonderful in my Pollyanna world and yours perhaps as well if we didn't need the government at all, if we had the support and respect from the population in general. I guess I'm wondering what percentage of what you grow you sell on the farm versus going to farmers markets, or perhaps, I don't know if you heard me talking about grocery stores before you came on. I'm not a fan of selling to grocery stores, big chains.
Oh, yeah, me either. Yeah. I mean, we're small enough. You know, our total sales are still just under $500,000 a year, and we invest pretty heavily in our retail outlet. So I don't really have any incentive to try to build a wholesale market because my price per item is so much lower. If I'm selling wholesale, I'd rather try to move it retail, and if I have extra, I can donate it, and I'm still making the same amount of money.
Right.
So at this point, we really do very minimal wholesale.
Mm-hmm. So under the circumstances, how do you get the word out as to, do you have CSAs? Do you have a regular social media connection with your group? And are you like lots of other people who, in fact, now are seeing, because of the pandemic, a huge increase in the interest of what goes on local farms?
Well, we definitely saw that increase, and it was a challenging year for us because last year, because we'd lost that lease in Ashland, we were leasing three different acres in three different towns, and we had decided just to stick with it, essentially because for the Farm Services Agency loan, you need a three-year business history. You know, it makes us look better if we just kind of, you know, keep building that financial history to put on the application, and we didn't want to lose the customer base. So we were so glad that we hadn't decided to just, you know, take a year off or give up, which was the other option when we lost that lease. It was a lot of work, a lot of driving. I'm now an hour instead of 20 minutes from my markets, and I spend at least half the time in a car or a truck because I live on the farm, and it's just three deliveries a week. And I, you know, I don't do all of them. I have a big team, so some people do them. You know, we really invest in relationships, you know, which is the kind of thing that's hard to do if you're on a really large scale and you're wholesaling. Like, I would say out of the 400 CSA members that we currently have, I could get 300 of those names right, you know, and I know something about them or something about their kids.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
And so that's really where we invest, is building relationships. And then that grows. The word of mouth is my best marketing tool, and that's how we grow.
I'm just thinking about it. I have to go to McGovern's in Dunstable to pick up a cow later on today. And you're right down the road. I come go by and see what your place looks like. And
that'd be great.
Yeah. And what's really neat about this is the enthusiasm that comes from the younger folks, younger women, more and more younger women are getting into this, and the husbands are men. Does your husband work with you full-time on the farm?
He does. Yeah. He does. I am the boss, though, so people,
yeah.
Everybody struggles with that, but...
Why?
I mean, you know, we just...
Why?
Well, because he's the man, and he has a beard, and he looks like what your image of a farmer would be. And, you know, we definitely excel in different areas on the farm. I'd say we have, like, a very divide-and-conquer, you know, which makes us an effective team, right? Like, we have
sure.
the things we're good at. We check in at the beginning of the day, and then we go our own ways, and maybe we work together, but not even really anymore, because we can each be leading our own team effectively and, you know, and so we're partners for sure, but like we decided that when it comes down to it, I get veto power just to sometimes make decision making easier.
Good for you. That's refreshing and kind of fun, in fact. Brittany Obershiner is here from Upswing Farm in Massachusetts. We're talking about how she is making it work with some good ideas. I want to know how you, as we continue here, how you decide on the prices for various things. What sort of skill do you need? Hold on, because we have to do a couple of things here. The American Family Farmer, I'm Doug Steffen. This is not about farming, but it's about food. 60 seconds on Ebon's Bakehouse cookies and buns and breads and that sort of thing. So here we have a national focus. The farmer and the farm program helps people all across the country. This is a Midwestern based husband and wife started this together, kind of like the story we're telling with Brittany and her husband, but they have gotten to the point where they're not huge, but they're making a very important and very significant impact. They're having an impact on what's going on in the gluten-free world. And we all know you go into the supermarket, you go to small places and big places, and you see there's a section for gluten-free products. Well, these folks have mastered it. Chocolate chip cookies like you wouldn't believe. Peanut butter cookies, yummy. All the cookies are, the buns, the breads, the rolls, everything is completely gluten-free. And the taste is like you've never, ever experienced. One thing you got to do, you got to keep it refrigerated because there's no preservatives. It's all natural. It's cut right out of my playbook. And that's why I love these people as much as I do and love their products. All you have to do is go online to Ebon, E-B-A-N-S, ebonsbakehouse.com. Check it all out. When you decide to buy and have the stuff shipped to you, use the DJV code for a big discount. And remember, once you've gotten them and you eat them and you don't like them, you get your money back if you don't like them. But I don't know anybody who said that. Anytime I bring them to friends, relatives, they all love them. It's a great way to enjoy this wonder. I mean, let's face it, we all love cookies and we all like bread sandwiches, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, whatever. So get the best out of what you have to work with in the gluten-free department. That's Ebon's Bakehouse. Check it out at ebonsbakehouse.com. Calotren, C-A-L-O-T-R-E-N.
This is really an easy way to just rev up your metabolism and turn your body back into that fat-burning machine that it used to be. There's no drugs in it. There's no stimulants in it that make it work really quickly. But our 90-day program does have a huge 86% success rate. So when you give it time to work, you're going to see the results and you're going to feel better. And you're doing this safely with a product that is good for you. Even if you're on medications, even if you have health conditions, this product is really good for you. And if you have questions, we've got a little chat on there. You can click the chat and then just ask us questions on there. You can also call us if you have questions, too. Our number's toll-free, 1-833-TOP-LOSS. We've got real-life people right here in America to answer your questions. It's 1-833-TOP-LOSS. And, again, the website is toploss.com. Our,
yep.
It's our buy three, get three free. So that's that proven 90-day supply. When you buy that 90 days, you get 90 days free.
Check it all out at toploss.com. At checkout, use the discount code DJV.
It's like I blinked and suddenly all my business shifted to e-commerce.
Now my business hours are whenever my customers need me.
My customers want everything now and faster than ever. It's a whole different world.
Your business is changing. The United States Postal Service is changing with it. We're bringing you fast, reliable shipping nationwide. And we're bringing it right when your customers need it. Let's discover new routes. Visit USPS.com/new routes. The United States Postal Service. Priority, you.
When you think Subaru, you think love. The 2021 Subaru Outback will make you fall in love with its state-of-the-art safety features, a spacious and comfortable interior, and convenient amenities, all ready for any adventure. Standard symmetrical all-wheel drive, plus up to 33 miles per gallon, 8.7 inches of ground clearance, X-Mode with hill descent control, and a direct-injected turbocharged Subaru Boxer engine will make you love every adventure in your Outback. Love, it's what makes Subaru, Subaru. EPA estimated highway fuel economy for 2021 Subaru Outback non-turbo models. Actual mileage may vary. Turbocharged engine, 11.6 inch touchscreen available in select models.
Brittany Overshiner with Doug Steffen on the American Family Farmer Show for this week. She has, along with her husband, a group of folks working in the Pepperell, Mass., sort of central Massachusetts area. So how broad is the attraction of people? I'm thinking about what I know. There are other farms. Gary's down the street from you, but I don't think he's all, there's not an organic. There's lots of stuff in Littleton around. So how do you separate? How do you attract a group of solid, steady customers?
One thing is we carried a huge customer base with us from our last location, and we're still delivering to pickups down there. So we're kind of allowing that established market to carry the business while we build our market up here. Mm-hmm. So we have 40, we basically didn't market. We only closed in January, and we've built 7 greenhouses. We're building a wash and pack. Like, we're really focused on infrastructure right now, because right. We'd rather have it all in place before we start marketing. When we're, you know, I just don't want to not be really ready to do a big marketing push. But I think one of the things about local food that's a real benefit to people is the convenience of it, you know. So Littleton is still, you know, 15-minute drive, 20-minute drive to get to that kind of complex where there's all those farm stands that you're talking about. So there's a lot of people in Pepperell, and like every person who came to our seedling sale said, oh, I'm right up the road, I'm right up the road, I'm right up the road. I'm like, wow, there's a lot of people who live right up the road from us. So I think we're really going to focus on building, you know, that sort of convenience.
Yeah.
But we also are certified organic, and people, there are some people who will travel a distance to get the product.
To do that. Oh, yeah. When I was selling raw milk, there were people coming for 40 miles in every direction because they're just not around. Okay. What about the pricing? How do you decide what to sell beets for, or what to sell a head of lettuce for, or whatever it is that you're, so how do you come up with the right price?
There's a couple of factors. One, I always walk the produce section in all the grocery stores because I just want to know what people are paying for, you know, if they're just shopping at the grocery store. I do believe that the product we're selling is superior, but I also feel like we can still at least match those prices. You know, not always. I can't match, like, the cheap, you know, 5-pound bags of carrots and potatoes, but that's a different product.
Nor should you. Nor should you try. It's how you sell it.
Yeah.
It makes it worthwhile. You shouldn't even try to do
it. I know, I agree. We also deal in what I believe is the human right. I think everybody should have access to fresh food that's grown really well. And so I personally struggle. I actually don't work the register of my own stand because I want people to have food affordably. And I make more money if I pay somebody $15 an hour to check people out for the right prices. Than
yeah, exactly.
Myself.
Yeah,
so that's
like
a personal thing, you know.
Makes sense.
So I pay attention to those prices. I pay attention to the other farmers at farmers market. You referenced social media before. If somebody takes a picture of their market display, I'm like looking at the price signs and that, see what they're charging. And then the other thing I do is I try to pay attention to my expenses. It's really hard. You know, we grow over 60 varieties of vegetables. 400 feet of scallions 3 times a year.
One of the side problems that we're having, all of us, with some of the large global seed outfits, the controls in the hands of 4 or 5. So where are you finding the things that you need to be unique?
It was hard this year. You know, we get so used to the supply chain just working. You know, I've never... It's good to realize that we are still dependent on this global market, even though we are local producers. So my top seed companies that I use are Haimoin Seed in Vermont, Johnny Select Seed in Maine, and then Fedco Seed in Maine I usually use. But the combination of the seed shortage and all of the gardeners ordering more seeds than they usually did because, like, everybody started gardening during the pandemic, made it actually too hard to order from Fedco. I skipped that order this year, which was, you know, hard that I couldn't figure out their process.
Johnny's is good in Maine. I like them.
They're really good, yeah.
All right, so upswingfarm.com for all the farmers who want to see what's going on this local Massachusetts farm. Check it out, upswingfarm.com. You've got a lot to be proud of, Brittany. I'm happy that we had the opportunity to meet, and I am going to find you if I have time later on today when I go pick up that cow. I'm going to come by and check things out at Upswing Farm. Thanks for being here. Brittany Overshiner with Doug on the American...
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. advertise@gcnlive.com.
The American Family Farmer, Doug Steffen here with a reminder about getting the American Family Farm podcast. We have hundreds of them based on the years of conversation we've been having with American family farmers just like you, talking about family and farm and food. Most recent American Family Farmer podcast is a focus. Actually, we talk about a Belgium farmer. He moved, we had a great story about, and I got some interesting response to this. He moved the stone which changed the boundary of his country. Then we talked about Bayer and the future of Roundup and all the glyphosate problems that we're having, the residential market and what that's doing to the price of food and where it can be grown. Certainly that's important. We had a conversation on the program with the new president of the National Farmers Union, Rob LaRue, getting some enlightening info. He came from a dairy farm background in West Virginia, and he's got a great background educationally. He's got a, you know, he's got that Washington twist on things, but it's good to know what they're doing to help the smaller family farmer especially. And then I talk about taxes and how people are going to lose their farms if the Biden tax bill. Do any of these politicians even get it? I guess that's my question. They don't seem to give a damn or understand what really is going on and what sort of precarious positions. There aren't enough of them that come from the farm to appreciate. That certainly was true of the last go-round. You know, Trump didn't know anything about farming and didn't care, and the guy he had as the Secretary of Agriculture was a horror show. So anyway, I mean, I don't know. Vilsack is the new person in charge. He did it before under Obama. He was okay, but I wouldn't say he was a star. It'll be interesting to see how it shakes out this time around. One of the things people ask me all the time, my understanding of technology. There are a lot of innovative things going on. That was one of the things I was talking to the lady here about, how you promote. It certainly isn't going to be stuff for your grandparents didn't do this on the farm, for sure. Maybe your parents didn't even do it on the farm. But you have the technological know-how and the wonders that are around right now to promote your message. So let me go one step further. What are those of you who are looking to the future thinking about electric tractors? With all of the pollution, the environmental people are getting involved in farming and the renewable resources that may or may not be there. We hear it almost daily is all the yak about this. So a couple of companies have introduced electric tractors, and they may be available by December of next year, apparently. There's a California-based electric tractor company called SoulTrack that's developed a battery-powered all-electric tractor. I've seen them. I just can't. I mean, first of all, I don't like new tractors to begin with. That's my thing. I just don't like new. Buy new equipment. I'm buying a new tedder, and I don't. But most tractors, I'm not interested in the new stuff because it's too complicated, too hard to work on, too expensive. And I think the manufacturers, because there are fewer of them, have become very arrogant. Having said that, then what about the electric tractor? What about the future? Where are we going to go with the needs that we have? In all, we have to. People will start coming to your farm. Take it from me. They'll start coming to the farm, and they'll ask you, well, if you don't have an electric tractor now, when are you going to get them? My response would be, the old tractors are reliable. I can fix them. I don't have to have government interference in, whatever it is that is supposed to guide and guard the what comes out of the smokestack or the stack of the diesel-powered tractor. But then, you get down to brass tacks and you think about what it costs. Some of this stuff is so expensive, and youngsters like these people that we were just talking about, they don't have the money to buy a lot of new equipment. So we need to be able to understand what's best for us. Technology is great when it comes to social media. I'm all for it. I don't think you can survive without it, frankly. But as far as electric tractors, electric trucks, and things like that, I'm not a member of the old school, although I am seasoned, a veteran of lots of different wars, including, dealing with tech that doesn't advance the cause of farming. It advances the cause of big government and technology and big corporations. So think about that when you think about your attitude. When somebody comes to you and says, hey, why don't you buy an electric tractor? Maybe one of your customers. Think through the explanation as to why you don't want to do it and what is better about having the machinery that you have. It's a suggestion, because I think the tech obviously is going to play a bigger part as we move into the future. That's my thought on it. I'm Doug Steffen. Entitled My Thoughts is you're entitled to yours here on the American Family Farmer. It's harvest time.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.